Let us pray. Dear our merciful Heavenly Father, thank you for the night that you've given to us, that we can come together and learn about your word as we share the knowledge that we have obtained with others, and that we can come together in edification of you, so that we can come to a better understanding of your word as we study it together. We thank you for the word that you've given to us, the comfort that it gives us to know that you're in control and that you love us, have a plan for us. And we ask that you help those who are not able to join us, that they may have a safe trip back or get better from their physical or spiritual ailments that they are dealing with, so that they can get the same encouragement that we get from being together with a like-minded brethren. We ask that you help us to live in accordance with your word as we go throughout our daily lives, and that you help us to take the things we learn here and bring them to others, so that we can shine your light throughout the whole world. And we thank you for sending your Son, so that we can have that comfort and peace. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
I know a few of you here are very well aware that school is starting up again. And now that our kids are not in school, you would think we wouldn't think about it so much. But Brendan's working for the school system, so we are aware of that. And certainly Beth is aware of it. And it's a time when things start to change. You know, the traffic's going to get a little bit different. And so... It's a time when a lot of things are happening. So, with that being said, By the time a student graduates from high school, he will have invested about 15,000 hours in understanding, well, I say understanding, been taught to understand a wide variety of subjects, which are considered for success in this world. And then if you go off to college for 4 years, another 1,900 hours in a particular subject. So we certainly don't stop learning, or we shouldn't stop learning after we get out of school. We most of us have jobs that require some ongoing learning, and they try to get you to continue. So, formal education is good, but there are things that people need to learn that are really outside of that 17,000 hours of education, and a lot of those things aren't necessarily taught in schools. In fact, we can be very sure that there's a lot of things that we need to know that are not being taught in school. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul tells Timothy, "For the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, and to be ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of which is truly life. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it some have swerved from the faith. Grace be to you." And that's the way Paul wraps up his first letter to Timothy. And as I read that, I could not recall any time that I was really taught that in school. And so just want to comment on a few things that are biblical principles that usually people are not going to get taught as they should. First of all, Paul addresses one thing here, that this is toward the rich. And Paul is telling Timothy, you can be rich without money. And that seems to be something that gets lost on people. And if you at a high school graduation stopped each graduate as they stepped off the stage and asked them a question, what is your goal in life? You might get different answers, and you might get some that try to give a really good sound bite that sounds good, but what's in the back of a lot of their heads is I want to do something that I'm going to make a lot of money. And some of them might actually answer it that way. And that'd be a very popular thought or answer. And you certainly, do learn that in the world today. But in Proverbs, there are certainly a lot of warnings toward having that kind of attitude toward money. And it's interesting because many of the Proverbs written by Solomon, who had a lot and certainly could give some good advice on how to treat that. In Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, "Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel." Take away, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. My eyes think that fives look like threes. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5. "Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven." How many of us have noticed that about money? I can't count the number of times when you come into a little bit of money, then the dryer breaks, or something happens that whenever you get a little bit, it does fly away. It's there 1 minute, and then it's gone. And so Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 gives a warning about the rich, and that it's difficult for them to enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say it's impossible. He said it's difficult. And many times Jesus gives warnings about that, those who trust in riches and are not spiritually wealthy. And so that is a big warning today that we should pay attention to in the Bible, that money and riches is not something that should be our focus. In fact, one of my favorite references in regard to this subject is in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, when you're looking at the seven churches. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The phrase I want you to notice there is that I know your poverty, but you are rich. And you've probably heard lessons before on the poor rich church. And it talks about this subject here. And that could be said about Christians. There's the poor rich Christian, the Christian who is rich in spirituality and rich in blessings from God. And so, what does the world teach? What do people learn? Well, they learn that money and fame and having signs of prosperity and nice things is the way that you need to be. But that is not what is taught in the Word of God. Another lesson that's not often taught in school is that the way up is down. And what do I mean by that? Well, people are ready to climb the ladder of success, and sometimes people think they can skip steps along the way. But Jesus said, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, he taught humility. He said in Matthew chapter 23, he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so the way up is down. The person that is going to be exalted is the one that lowers himself. And so that is a principle that we find throughout the Scriptures. We see it in the book of Psalms and Proverbs, that humility is the way to be. And that God respects that. And we certainly see that in the life of Christ. One of the things that he did right before he was crucified is he washed his disciples' feet. And he did that as an act of servanthood and humility. And of course, Peter recoiled at the idea that Jesus would do that, and Jesus told him that was something that he did need to do. So humility means to lie low, it's something that's lower. In Vine's dictionary, it says something on the ground, and pride is certainly the opposite of that, and it's what is taught so many times. But pride is something that defiles us. And so that's a lesson that's not often taught in schools. And so there's a lot of paradoxes that we see in the Scriptures. One final one here is that you are strong when you are weak. And so God doesn't see strength the same way that many people in the world do. We hear expressions like, don't ever let them see you sweat, or get others before they get you, or it's a dog-eat-dog world. And so what this means is that you're gonna fight your way to the top, and if people get in your way, you're gonna run over them. And so that's not the way that God, sees strength. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And Paul says here, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. He's talking about the thorn in the flesh. And he said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, I am strong. Again, that's a principle that you don't often hear taught as you're growing up, unless you're in a Bible study. But Paul's strength was found in his trust of God. And he trusted God's judgment on removing that thorn in the flesh. And it's because of our trust in God that we have strength. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that God chose the weak things in this world to confound the mighty. And that's a very strong statement, pun intended there. Very strong statement that the weak things are the things that are going to be strong. So these are just a few things I think that we can think about when we look at what the world teaches and what the scriptures teach. And so it's very different. And we need to constantly be reminded of the world is not teaching us the right direction to go. But the scriptures will. God will lead us in the right direction if we will look at His will and follow Him. So I hope these things will be useful to you and help keep us on the right track as we strive to serve God. If we can help in any way respond to the invitation, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Let us pray. Most righteous and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day that you've given us. As we come to a close of this time of study and worship to you, we're thankful for allowing us to be able to come out to safely gather, Father, to learn more from your word and learn more about your plan of salvation and how you reconciled us through your son. Heavenly Father, as we think about that, we pray that you would forgive us of those things that we've misstepped on, that we've been out of step with your with the law that you have for us. Father, we pray that you would help us to recognize those wrongs in our lives, that we will come to you, Father, and seek that reconciliation that we talked about tonight. Heavenly Father, we're so mindful of those that have been mentioned as sick. Father, we're thankful for what you have done for my mom so far. Father, we pray that you will continue to be with her. We pray for Rex, that you help him to get over his illness, Father, as well as those others of the congregation here that that we know of that need your help, Father, at this time. We pray that your will be done in all those things. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that are traveling away from us. Father, we're mindful of Elijah as he's away on with the guard. We pray to you for his safety. We pray, Father, for all those that they would have a safe return. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for what you have helped us with this congregation, with the elders that we have. Father, we pray that you'd be with them, that you would give them sound judgment in what they do, Father, in leading the flock here. Father, as we depart this evening, we pray, Father, for your continued guidance in our life. We pray for safety as we travel back to our homes. And Lord willing, Father, we pray that you help us to meet again this coming Lord's Day, Father, to worship you and to remember your son's death. We pray all these things in your son's blessed name. Amen.